Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody. I'm glad you were able to make it out this morning. If you think it's cold this morning, just remember Wednesday is supposed to be colder. And it's finally getting comfortable outside. One of these days I'll have to grab a jacket when I leave the house. It's good to see some of you this morning. We haven't seen for a day or two for different reasons, especially Linda. And good to see Donna again back from the sunny southwest. Sorry we didn't bring the warm weather for you, but you tried to bring it here? All right. As we continue through our progression through the scriptures, I said that when I started that I'm using this curriculum because I would have gotten bogged down and we'd still be well in the beginning of Genesis, but if you've noticed, the last couple of weeks, we've kind of gone pretty quick through parts of it, and now we've slowed back down. We've started looking at a compressed section of the book of Exodus because of the importance of that event. We'll be in again in Exodus chapter 18 this morning. You know, we've gone through these long periods of time very quickly. The Exodus is a period of less than a year. And most likely just a few months from the time of the first plague until they come to Sinai for the giving of the law, and we're not going to get there yet. So we're still in between the Red Sea and Mount Sinai and moving in that direction. How many of you have ever had a good teacher? Now, I had several great teachers as I was going through school. A couple of them that stick out in my mind from grade school, a couple of them from junior high and high school that really made an impact in my life, and a couple of my college professors that really taught me some great things as far as book knowledge and just information goes. But you know, probably some of the people that I learned the most from weren't those kinds of teachers. Some of the people that I learned the most from were rather people who took me under their wing at some point in their lives, and they shared with me the skills that I would need for certain tasks. They taught me how to identify certain problems and how to deal with them. They taught me how to navigate different areas of life with some sort of efficiency. They taught me how to deal with things that otherwise could have been overwhelming. Years ago, at a Promise Keepers rally, I heard one of the speakers say that every man needs three men in their lives. And as I was thinking about it, I could only come up with two of the three. The third one evidently wasn't that important to me, but he said that every man needs a Barnabas. Every man, and I would say, you know, as well, every woman. Scripture teaches that women need the same thing, they just have different names. Every man needs a Barnabas, that is, an older man who is building into their life. He said he also needs a Timothy, a younger man into whose life he is building. You see, as followers of Christ, we're called to be growing and maturing. We're called to be becoming more and more holy, and we need somebody along the way who can help us to do that. Somebody who can help us learn new skills and new talents. Somebody who can help us keep the rein on things that might otherwise become problematic. But we also need somebody into whose life we're building, because we're not just called to grow and mature, but we're called to make disciples. And if we're not making disciples, or at least if we're not working at making a disciple, we are not doing what we've been called to do. When we're working on making a disciple, we need that Timothy, somebody who we're helping to learn what it means to be a follower of Christ. Somebody who we're taking the information that we're getting and turning it back and giving it away to them. Because here's what I know. None of us has reached the point where we don't need somebody who has the ability to pass on new understanding to us about what it means to live a Christian life. And none of us has reached the point of retirement from the task of making disciples. And it never hurts to learn new and fresh ways to share our faith. I entitled this sermon, looking through sermons for quite a while out, I entitled this sermon, Godly Leaders. Not because I wanted to focus primarily on our church leadership, though if you look at the things we'll talk about, there are things that are important for church leaders. But rather because we all, as disciple-making disciples, are called to be leaders. We are called to lead other people to Jesus, and I think that we have a lot to learn from other godly leaders, even if they hold a greatly different position of leadership than we would ever desire to attain. And so this morning, I think that's why Paul could say in Romans that for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through the perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. You see, while we can't just look at passages like the one in Exodus 18 and say, oh, here are leadership qualities and that's exactly what Moses meant them for, we can look at it and say these are some things that we can learn from these godly leaders. And with that in mind, we're going to look at these two godly leaders from Exodus chapter 18. And we'll begin this morning with verse 13. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people. And they stood around him from morning until evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered, "Because the people come to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Moses' father-in-law, and just so you know, if you look back up, you find that his name is Jethro. Jethro. Not the hillbilly, the shepherd and priest of Midian. Jethro. Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and the people will come only to wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to Him. Teach them His decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times. But have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. They will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain and all these people will go home satisfied." Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens, and served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. As I was thinking about this and looking at this, I began to see that there are some things that we can learn from both Moses and Jethro. You see, both of these men as leaders have lessons for us to learn this morning. Jethro as a kind of Barnabas and Moses as a kind of Timothy, they both teach us something about what it means to be a godly follower of Christ who is doing what we're called to do. and both of them teach us some things that we as people with some sort of influence can carry out in life. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, has come from Midian with Moses' wife and his two sons, and he comes and meets the congregation of Israel in the midst of their travels from the Red Sea to Sinai, and he comes and he celebrates with Moses the things that God has done thus far for them. But Jethro has this position of some sort of authority over Moses, some sort of learning, some sort of understanding that Moses has yet to gain. And, Scripture never tells us how old Jethro is. He never gives us any indication of that. We know Moses is 80-some years old by this time, and so he's not a young man, and I want that to encourage you that it doesn't matter how old we are, it doesn't matter how many years we have traveled this earth, we can still learn from others. And Jethro is this wise outsider. Jethro is one who is looking in on the circumstances and looking in on the situation from the outside. And often in life, we need somebody who's willing to build into our lives, somebody who has the place and has our respect enough that we allow them to speak into our lives and to just be honest with us when we don't want to be honest with ourselves, or when we are blinded by the things that we should be seeing because we see them so frequently. I remember when Lainey was just a baby. Or actually, Landon was just a baby. Lainey was just a baby. And Lainey was born in a period of time when I wasn't home all week. In fact, I was home for a day and a half or 2.5 days every 2 weeks when Lainey was first born. And you know how people say, watch your kids because they grow up before your eyes? With my other children, there would be things, somebody would say, man, they've changed. And I'd say, yeah, whatever. But with Lainey, I got to see it. Because I was looking at things with a little bit of an outside perspective. I got to see the way that she changed week by week by week by week. And it's hard to believe how much a baby can change in 5 days or 14 days. Man, she changed. And being on the outside a little bit and looking in, I could see things that I had missed with my other two children that had grown up before my eyes almost every day. Sometimes we get this fresh perspective, and we need somebody else who can bring this fresh perspective into our lives. And Jethro comes in from the outside. He comes in with this position in Moses' life where Moses trusts him, he knows him, and Jethro comes in, and Jethro just begins to observe. Jethro just, he doesn't come in and just start saying things. He comes in and he begins to observe the things that are taking place. And Jethro comes in and he watches for a period of time, a day or 2 days. He comes in and he sees these things that are taking place. And he's paying attention, just taking things in and observing the situation. And what he begins to see are some of the good things that are taking place. He notices that Moses is a good leader for the people. After all, if Moses wasn't a good leader, the people wouldn't keep coming to him. And he notices that these people are coming to Moses to ask questions about what God wants from them, about how God wants them to live, and about the problems that are arising between them. It's interesting. It's only been a couple of months since they left Egypt, and they already have interpersonal relational problems that they need to take to somebody else to solve for them. probably some of these problems arose when they were still in Egypt. I don't know, but they're coming to Moses and they're looking for God's wisdom. Moses has been leading them for a couple of months now, and they have gotten frustrated with him. They have grumbled and complained about him, but yet they understand that Moses has some very good wisdom. And Jethro observes this in Moses. And so Jethro is observing the situation, and he sees the good things that are taking place, but then he also notices that there are some things that Moses is doing that, well, they're not helpful. They're not beneficial. They might even become problematic. He sees the good, but he also sees the bad. He sees the fact that Moses has all of these people coming to him day after day, and Moses can't get through all of the cases in one day. And so it isn't just that he isn't completing today's task, but the line is getting longer and longer day by day as people are continuing to have problems and are continuing to come to Moses. And Jethro spends a period of time just watching and learning. And a godly leader who is going to help us to grow in our faith and help us to look more like Christ is going to look at us and observe us, and they're going to pay attention to our lives and say, how can I help you? What are the problems? What are the strengths? What are the weaknesses? What is it about your life that makes you unique? Because here's the thing, we are all unique. If there are any two of us that are exactly alike, one of us isn't necessary. But we all learn different. We all accomplish things different. We all go about things differently. And so Moses is made up in a certain way, and Jethro is just observing things. And after that period of observation, Jethro comes to Moses with some advice. He comes to Moses with some advice, and he says to him, you know, Moses, if you want to accomplish the task in a way that's going to be beneficial for you, and a way that's going to be beneficial for the people, and a way that is going to help you all get along until you get to where God is leading you, let me give you some advice. And his advice comes as the priest of Midian. His advice comes probably as a shepherd who has large enough flocks that he's got several people watching his flocks. And so, you know, we can see that by the fact that he was able to bring Moses in and give him a job as a shepherd before he gave him a wife. And so Moses is there, and Jethro comes and says, let me give you some wisdom. He says, if you want to accomplish the task, Moses, here's what you do. Don't try to do it all yourself. You look out amongst the people, and you find some people there who are godly men who will be good leaders. Probably what he's saying is look for the men who are already doing some of the leadership tasks, who are already helping to organize things, and look at the ones who also are godly and have the will of God. And he says, take them and you give them some of the responsibility for judging the people. You teach them what it means to follow God. You teach them the rules and the regulations that God has passed on to you so far. You teach it to them and you let them guide and direct the people. You let them judge over the problems of the people. Because Moses, this task is too much for you. And so Moses listens. But here's the thing with godly advice. We have to ask the question, is it all godly wisdom? Is everything that Jethro is sharing with Moses godly? Probably no. I really believe that if you look at what Jethro says to Moses, a lot of what what Jethro shares with him is just common sense. Things that he's probably learned through dealing with people as the priest of Midian. Things that he's probably learned as a shepherd. Things that he probably learned as a father. It's just worldly wisdom that he has gleaned over the years, and he's looking at the situation and he's saying, Moses, if you just apply this wisdom to this situation, it will help you out. It's kind of like when you go to the doctor and the doctor says, you need to gain 20 pounds and this is how you can do it. And so you listen to him, and his wisdom is right, but it isn't all medical science. Some of it's simply based upon the fact that he's lived life long enough that he can tell you these are some things to do. So no, not all of this advice is godly wisdom, but at the same time, I'd say, yes, it is all godly wisdom. And I know you want to tell me I can't have it both ways. I can't have my cake and eat it too. But here, let me explain. I think it's all godly wisdom because I can say that all truth is God's truth. And so if we pick up the truth in the world and we pick up honest wisdom in the world around us that is true, even if it may simply come from our experience in the world, it can still be God's truth. It can still be godly wisdom because all truth is God's truth. And so as he's experiencing this and paying attention to the things of God and the things of, that Moses is doing, Jethro is giving him this godly wisdom. And the purpose, Jethro's purpose of giving this advice isn't just to sound wise. It isn't just to try to manipulate the situation to the things that look right to him. But rather, Jethro is looking at Moses and Jethro is looking at the nation of Israel and saying, these are the things that will be the best for you and the best for the nation, Moses. And I like what he does. Because here's the thing, sometimes when we come to a situation where we think we have things figured out, we want to tell people how to do things as a command. We want to tell people how to do them and expect them to do exactly what we've said, But Jethro, in his wisdom, leaves it simply as advice. He says to Moses, Moses, here are some things that I have observed. Here are some plans that you can take that might be helpful. But you have to look at the situation and you have to pray to God and see if God would direct you in this manner. And Jethro simply leaves it to Moses to make the decision. And one of the things that I've noticed is those people who've had the most impact in my life have shown me some things about the way to live life, but they've left it as advice, not as commands. Oh, now there's some others who worked into my life very well that did give me some commands and told me this is how you do it. But Jethro doesn't give the commands, he gives the advice. And we as godly men and women, if we are going to be doing what God calls us to do, we're working on making disciples. Some of what we need to do is to give them that advice about how to live a godly life. Realizing that not everything that works for me is going to work for them, and give them advice. So Jethro is the wise outsider. Jethro is the one coming to give wisdom to the leader. Moses, on the other hand, is this leader of the people who is in need of some wisdom. He's in need of someone to share with him, and Moses listens. Moses isn't so built up on Moses that he thinks he knows all the answers. In fact, Moses realizes that he doesn't know it all. I think by now Moses has run into enough obstacles with the people that if anybody tried to help him, he would have been willing to take some advice. But Jethro comes in, and being a wise outsider, he has some information, and Moses, being a good follower as well as a good leader, realizes that he doesn't know it all, and so he's willing to listen to the wisdom that Jethro has. He listens to what he has to say, and he thinks about it, and he works on it, and he sees it not just as somebody trying to manipulate. He doesn't look at it as somebody trying to get things their way. And I think often we hear the advice that other people have to give us with the wrong ears. You see, we often think people are trying to control us. We think that people are trying to manipulate us, but all too often people just are expressing their ideas, and they don't necessarily express them, and we don't necessarily express our ideas correctly, because more often people are just want to share their insights to try to help us and give us some thoughts. And Moses understands that that's what Jethro is doing. Moses is able to see Jethro's concern for the people, and for Moses himself, he's able to see the wisdom that Jethro is sharing with him. And so Moses listens. Moses listens to the advice that Jethro is sharing. But he doesn't just listen, and he doesn't just run headlong into implementing all these plans and all these strategies that are being laid out before him. I think, I can't prove it from the Scriptures, but I think by now I've seen enough of Moses' life to understand that Moses probably prayed. Moses probably went to God and laid these things out before God. You know, that's what Jethro encouraged him to do, so I assume that Moses didn't feel the need when he recorded this passage in Exodus to say, and so Moses prayed. He says Jethro encouraged him to seek the will of God, and so I think that the way I've read Moses' writings, that we can understand that Moses took a period of time and went before God and laid this out before God and said, God, is this feasible, and is this within the plan that you have for the people? And he begins to adjust. He's listened to the advice of Jethro, and he's prayed to God, and he's making some adjustments. And he begins by looking for these people. He begins to make the changes, looking for the people who will be wise leaders, men who have the characteristics and the traits that are necessary to help him to lead the people in the process of growth, and to lead the people in the process of making it to the promised land. And here's a word of warning. I wrote it as a question. I asked, does this mean that we should accept all godly counsel, or even all other counsel for that matter? And the answer is no. There are some people who can give us some great godly counsel, but not all advice is of equal value. What is good in one situation, what is good for one person, will not be applicable in another situation and for another person necessarily. Over the years, I've looked to some wise, godly men and read some very good books on what it looks like, and sat through some seminars on what it looks like to do certain things as a church. And you know what? Some of those are great advice for another church. some of those are great advice for another minister who has a different skill set and different abilities. They're great godly advice, but if I tried to implement them as myself in the churches I've been in, you know what I would have done? Burned myself out or burned up a church. Killed myself or killed the church. One of the two. And I had to say, you know, that's a great godly advice, but in my situation, that's a really dumb idea. It just won't work. Because you know what? My church isn't located in the heart of Orange County, California. They have more people and more pavement than I have in the entire state I live in. And I have a whole lot more cows and more snow. It was great advice that was being given. It just wasn't for my situation. And sometimes, as a godly follower, I have to be able to say, you know what? That's great godly advice, but it's not for me. We have to allow God to be able to tell us and allow others to speak into our lives, but we have to have those points where God can say, whoa, that's not right for you. And Moses took this plan to God, and God evidently told Moses, you know, Jethro is right. Listen to him. Because what we see is Moses finding those leaders, giving them the instruction and putting them on their way. I've tried to model my ministry after that. Not necessarily. I don't remember ever sitting down and studying Jethro before. This is the first time I remember studying Jethro on purpose. But it's the same thing that I've learned through other passages of Scripture. And I've said it like this. I know I've said it from here before. I've got it written on things in my office. And it says this. It says, equipping and encouraging disciples to make disciples who make disciples. You see, my task is to many times be Jethro. To bring godly wisdom, to bring godly ideas and concepts, and to teach the Scriptures in such a way that I am equipping you to make disciples and encouraging you to make disciples. And so we teach the Scriptures regularly and try to incorporate and help you understand how they fit together and what they're pointing to in the work of God from creation to the cross and from the cross to the new creation. How does it all fit together? What does it mean for our lives as followers of Christ, equipping disciples to make disciples? And then I know I've said it, and some of you might be sick of hearing me say that your job is to make disciples. Asking you who you're praying for, asking you whose life you can be building into to help them see Jesus for the first time. Because we're called to make disciples. And then helping you make disciples who will in turn be able to take the same teaching. You go from being the Paul to Barnabas to being the Paul to Timothy and taking the teaching, and you're making disciples and teaching them what it means to follow Christ and teaching them how to make disciples so that they in turn can make disciples. You see, here's one of the things I've learned in life is this. We often learn a lot more by being a Paul to Timothy than we do by being a Paul to a Barnabas. We all need Barnabas in our lives teaching us some things, but you know, we learn a whole lot more when we're taking that wisdom and that instruction that we're giving and turning around and learning how to teach it to other people. I've talked to people who've taught little kids Sunday school class. They've been in church all their lives. They've studied the Bible. They probably read it 20, 30 times, and you know what they'll tell you? I learned more trying to teach those 3- and 4-year-olds than I ever learned sitting in a Sunday school class. It's why we're called to make disciples. Because if we want to know what it means to be a godly man or woman, the greatest way to learn is to figure out how to teach someone else. We learn a lot from Moses and Jethro. Because here are two men. They're both leaders, but they're both able to share the wisdom that God is giving them. Jethro shares his wisdom with Moses, and Moses learns from Jethro, and then Moses turns around and shares that wisdom with the people. And everybody grows closer to God. And that's why we're here this morning, is to grow closer to God. And this morning I want to encourage you, if you don't have somebody that you're sharing the gospel with on a regular basis, pray that God would give you that opportunity. And if you don't have somebody who is speaking into your life regularly, pray that God would give you someone. Pray that God would bring that Jethro to you so that you can grow closer to Him. This morning, though, maybe you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You don't have that relationship. You know, the place to start is the relationship with Jesus. And if you need to begin that relationship, we'd love to walk down that path with you, whether it's just the beginning of a conversation or whether you're ready, you're at the point where you're ready to say, I surrender my life to You as the Lord of my life in the waters of baptism. If you've got a decision or commitment to make this morning, won't you come as we stand together and sing this next song.